Good morning. I'm going to be speaking this morning. I've titled this message, Good Things. It'll become perhaps a bit clearer as we go through it. But I'm going to be talking, we're going to be continuing our series on Moses, on crossing over. So we're going to be looking at some passages from Exodus, from the Old Testament about Moses. But we're also going to be looking how that relates in the New Testament, which is what we've been doing all along. It's the crossing over piece. And what I'm really going to be speaking on this morning is busyness. So I've been in a very, very busy season in my life. Can anyone relate? So it seems everywhere I go, people keep saying the same thing. So people ask, how am I doing? And I say, I'm really busy. And I hear other people saying the same thing. They say, oh, it's been a busy week. Or I've been really busy. So much so that I've started to add a little bit onto that now. I say, I've had a really busy week, but it's been good. But it's, you know, I'm nearly at a point where I can see it getting better. Or I start to add things on because I realize I'm just constantly saying I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. And yeah, it gets a little bit weird after a while. But a few weeks ago, and this is, I read a quote which has been on my heart, and I shared it in church. And some of you may remember, but it's that if the devil can't get you to be bad, he'll get you to be busy. Yeah. And it's really been sitting with me, and I've just been thinking about all of this busyness. What does that do to us as Christians? And what is the devil doing in that? What is the trap that lies there for us? And that's what we're really going to get into today. Our passage today looks, at least in some way, at this very point. So I'm going to do a really whirlwind tour of the story so far. So we have the story of the people in Israel. They're in slavery in Egypt, being treated badly by the Egyptians. They cry out to God. God raises up Moses. Moses comes in to deliver them. He and Aaron go and stand before Pharaoh. Pharaoh resists. God sends plagues, which really expose the futility of the Egyptian gods. Pharaoh has, you know, he hardens his heart. He's very stubborn. He resists, resists, resists. Firstborns are all killed. The Passover is instituted. I'm whizzing through it, but this is just a whirlwind tour. Finally, the Israelites leave with a blessing. They're given gold and silver and treasures, and they leave. Basically, at this stage, Pharaoh's had enough. He's like, get out. They leave. Pharaoh changes his mind. He chases them down. The sea parts. The Israelites walk through. It closes. Egyptians drown. They sing a song. They moan about being thirsty. There's water comes from the rock. The water's too bitter. They throw a log in. Picture of Jesus. And what else have we done? I think that's pretty much where we are. So then Dorothy spoke last week around the wilderness and how in those wilderness times, there can be times of real learning and times of real growth for us. And I think, you know, so that's where we are. We're in Egypt. We're not in Egypt. We've left Egypt. We're in the wilderness with Israel. And what we're going to look at this morning is the time when Jethro, who's Moses' father-in-law, comes to visit him and he gives him some advice. So that's Exodus 18. Now, Jethro was a God-seeking man. He was a Midianite, but he was a man who sought God and who loved God. And so he comes to give Moses some advice. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 18. It's quite a long piece of text, but there's a lot in there for us. And so I'm going to read it all. We're going to start at verse 13. So it says, the next day, Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning until evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, what is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone and all the people stand around you from morning until evening? And Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me and I decide between one person and another and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws. Moses' father-in-law said to him, what you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone. Now obey my voice. I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and who hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times. Any hard case they brought to Moses, but any small matter they decided themselves. Then Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went away to his own country. So quite a long piece of scripture, but hopefully you picked up in that about the busyness, the point about busyness. And so the first point I want to say is there's clearly a huge trap here for leaders and for church leaders. And there's a message in there for us. So Moses was doing a lot of things, and they were all good things. So he was looking to really lead the people of Israel really well. He was looking to govern them well. He was looking to inquire of God, to seek direction, to seek the Lord's will for them, and but also to bring a sense of justice and fairness among the people. All good things. And I think the danger sometimes for leaders is we can feel like we're the only ones who can do something. And we feel the burden to take that on and to do that. As an eldership, we've been exploring this very point, and we've been thinking about what are the things that we should be doing, what are the things that we should be carrying, but equally, what are those things that we should be entrusting to others or that we should be putting down so that we can focus on what God has called us to do. What should we be releasing to others, and what should we let go of? And what was really a key part of that whole scripture for me was verse 23, where it says, if you do this, God will direct you. You will be able to endure, and all those people also will go to their place in peace. So if we want to know direction, if we want to be able to endure, and we want to be able to see this thing through and continue leading the church faithfully and well and enduring, we need to make sure that we're doing what God has called us to do. There's a danger here of burnout. There's a danger of taking our eyes off and not being able to sense God's direction for us as a church and as a people. And part of this is we see the role very much as Jesus modeled for us, and that of shepherd leadership, where we're called to be like shepherds, to look after God's church as a shepherd looks after the sheep. And there's a danger here if you think about that metaphor of just being involved in other things and taking your eyes off the well-being and the care of the sheep. But I also think there's application here which is way beyond church leadership. I shared that because I wanted you to know something about the journey that we as an eldership team are on at the moment, and we're doing a lot on that. But I think there's so much here that is way beyond church leadership. And I think I've the last few times I've preached, I've probably said the same thing, but it strikes me every time that whenever I prepare a message, I end up preaching to myself first. And this is something that I massively need to hear and get hold of, because I'm extremely good at filling my time. I really excel at that. I can take on a lot of things and I can get super busy, and they're good things, which is why I've titled that the title I've given this preach. But sometimes they're just a lot of things I like to do. If I think about church, I love to be involved in worship. I love to preach. I love to be in small groups. I like to do pastoral work. I like to meet with people one-to-one. I like to do all these things, so I want to be involved. But if I'm honest and I look a little bit deeper, I also like to feel helpful. I like to feel like I'm pulling my weight. I like to feel like I'm making a difference. And I find it hard to say no. I want to be well thought of, if I'm really honest. I want to be seen as useful and hardworking, and in a real Christian sense, I want to be seen as servant-hearted, because that's something that we value. And those are good things. They're not bad things in themselves, but we have to be very careful, and I guess some of you hopefully can relate to this, but when we start to think about what do other people think of me, how do they perceive me, there's an element of pride there, and we have to be super careful. Are we more concerned about what people think of us than what God thinks of us and what God is telling us to do? Are we responding to the perception that we have of people and their view of us? And it's something that, you know, I've really had to think quite hard about. So a good question for us to ask is, if there's one thing that we should do, if there's one thing that God wants us to do, what is it? I'm so glad you asked. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. This is a really well-known story of Martha and Mary. And so let's read through that. So it's Luke 10 and verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." She's chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. And I think, just to draw our attention to it, the one thing that is necessary is to sit at the Lord's feet. To sit at his feet. And to them hearing that, to the readers at the time this was written, that would have meant to be learning from Jesus. To sit at his feet would have been a place of learning, where you would have learned his instruction. You'd have been communing with him. You would have been a disciple of his. So Mary was sat there with her eyes on Jesus, hearing and communing with him. And that is the one thing that is necessary. It's the main thing that we need. And without this, we'll not be able to grow, and we'll not be able to go the distance. If we go back to the passage about Moses and that verse 23, if you do this, God will direct you. You'll be able to endure. So we need to be sat at Jesus' feet so that we can endure, so that we can know his will, and so that we can go the distance. I think in my time as a follower of Jesus, I've known many people, many Christians whose life and their the way they've acted out their faith has been something like a firework. It's been spectacular. It's been, you know, there's evidence of God's anointing and gifting on them, and it's been super bright and impressive, and it's been like, wow, but very quickly faded away into nothing. And sometimes it happens again, and you see glimpses of just the amazing gifting and anointing that God has placed on a person, but it doesn't last. And I think for me, this is evidence of somebody who's not spending enough time at the Lord's feet, who's not spending enough time in his presence, being filled up so that they can be sustained, so that they can endure. And one of the things that God's really been speaking to me about in this is that we need to be more like, and he uses this analogy in the Bible quite a lot, like those oil lamps. Now, many of us would not really have used them, but it's a lamp with a wick and oil, and we need to be more like an oil lamp and less like a firework. We need to be more there for the slow burn, that we provide light constantly and continuously, because we live our lives on a level of consistency that is evident to the world. So we provide that light. We're constantly filled up with the oil. We top up the oil by spending time at his feet, time in his presence. His spirit fills us so that we can cast out that light. But it's a consistency that we need. And so I want to encourage you, if you're looking to spend time with people and get advice from people, look for those people who are just constant, who provide that light. It might not be spectacular. It might not be a wow moment where the fireworks go off, but they are just people who are constant and consistent, and they burn brightly. Next verse we're going to look at is Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 1. And it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Again, it's about looking to Jesus and running with endurance as a result of what we get from that spending time at his feet and looking to him. Another verse to encourage us is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 31. I'm sorry, I realize I'm probably going a little quickly for you to look them up, but I'm hoping, yes, they're coming up there, so that's great. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is just so encouraging. Just mounting up on wings like eagles, running and not growing weary. And this all comes just from the wonderful presence of God and spending time in his presence. So we need to be less like a firework and more like an oil lamp. And so, endurance is really important. Consistency is really important. And when we don't get those things in our lives, we need to take stock and we need to think about how much time we're spending topping up that oil in our lamps. Sometimes in the Bible, there's a tension between things. You may have noticed this. There are two things that appear to be in contradiction to each other, but they're both true. We believe the Bible is the infallible word of God, right? So one of them's not right and the other one wrong. They're both right, but sometimes our brains battle with them. A classic example is that we are saved by grace and grace alone. There's nothing that we bring that can deserve the salvation that we have. Amen? But at the same time, we're called to holiness. So, you know, some people battle with that because they say, but there's a sense of, there's a feeling of striving here, but here it's unwarranted, unmeasured grace of God that we can't earn. But actually, I think as we come to know them, we realize that if we understand the grace of God and we really get to love and appreciate that, then instinctively and naturally, we desire holiness and we move towards that without the striving, without the earning anything, we step into that. So I'm slightly digressing, but my point here is I'm actually going to, as my American friends would say, I'm going to speak out the other side of my mouth now. We've spoken a little bit about busyness and the dangers of being too busy. And now I'm going to talk about laziness. And this doesn't give us an excuse for laziness. We can't say, well, my job is to sit at the Lord's feet and that's what I do and that's it. I think we are called to serve. I honestly believe we're called to serve. If we look at Jesus, his example is one of servant leadership. He came as a servant. He humbled himself. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, humbled himself to come and serve us who don't deserve it at all. If we look at Luke chapter 12 and verse 37. It says, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table and he will come and serve them. And so often when we think about Jesus coming back again, we know when he was here on earth that he served, that he washed his disciples' feet. We know that he served people. When he comes back, we tend to think about him riding a white horse, sword dipped in blood, faithful and true, blazing down his side. But this is in chapter in Luke is speaking about him, and he will come dressed for service. So even when he comes in victory, when he draws curtains on this world, he will still be the servant king. And that's the model that we need to follow. And so my challenge to us all is, do you have a gift that you aren't bringing? Has God given you something? Has he put something in you? Has he given you a gifting, an anointing, an ability, or a desire to do something that you are not bringing? Are you withholding something from God that he's placed in you for the benefit of his bride or for the people out there who he wants to reach? I've, in recent times, just found so much gold in the Proverbs. There's just so many things in there that are just absolutely awesome. And I think Proverbs 25 verse 14 just absolutely captures this for me. It says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of a gift he doesn't give. And so I think that's a real challenge to us. What has God given you? What has he put in your hand that he wants you to serve people with, that he wants you to bring? And are you bringing that? Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So the most important part really is, you know, if we balance those two things, this need to focus on spending time at the Lord's feet and learning and topping up and filling up our lamps with that oil we need from him. If we want to balance that with bringing our gifts and not being lazy and not burning ourselves out, we need to think about our service needs to flow out of that time at Jesus' feet. So when we are topping up our lamps, everything we do needs to flow out of that time. And you can see it when somebody is flowing in the anointing that God has given them and they're spending time at his feet, it comes naturally. It comes easily. And there's a sense of wow, I can really sense the anointing of God on that person. And that's typically when they've spent time at his feet, they reflect something of him. They bring less of them, less of their natural ability and more of the anointing that he has given to them. And so that's what we all need to aim at. It's that balance between the time at his feet and then bringing what we have, which comes out of an abundance of just the lavish overflow of what he gives us in that time. If it doesn't flow out of that time, then we're in danger. We're in danger of pride, firstly, which is a real trap for all of us. We're in danger of endurance, of becoming more like a firework, where we rely on our natural ability, and we can do that for a length of a period of time. But if you are in any sort of ministry or operating in any sort of ministry, you will know that it takes a lot out of you. And without the Lord sustaining us and without that oil in our lamps and being topped up, we are not going to make it. We'll be more like a firework. We also need to renew our minds to see and know the will and wisdom of God. It's about that, you know, to go back to the Moses picture. Moses was leading the people of Israel through the desert. When you look at their route, it makes no sense. Like, you would not plot that route if you were navigating to go into the promised land as they were. You would not go the way they went. But Moses was hearing from God, and God took them that route very deliberately, and amazing miracles and things happened along the way because he was following God's will. So we need to know what God's will is, and the only way we can do that is to renew our minds. And renewing our minds means being in the Word of God, saturating ourselves in the Word of God and in his presence so that we know the truth from the lie. We know it because it's in us. We have that oil in us. And when we hear the lies, we recognize them straight away. I'm going to jump forward a couple of slides, Fiona, if that's okay, to Romans 12, chapter 2, which you guys will probably know really well. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." If we are relying on our own intellect, our own wisdom, and our own ability to know the will of God, we are in great danger. Yeah. The only way that we can know it is by communing with him, by getting saturated in the word, by relying on his spirit to make the word true and real, and to reveal the deep truths of the word in our hearts. And when we are saturated and our lamps are full, we will know. And so we need to be careful of our own plans, our own desires, our own will. And we need to look instead to God. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Again, there are just so many warnings. We need to know the will of the Lord. We have an enemy who wants to take us off course. He wants to use our own nature sometimes against us to lead us down the wrong path. And if we are not constantly renewing our minds, we are setting ourselves up for that. So I'm going to just begin drawing this to a close. And what I really want to appeal to us today is just to take stock of where we're spending our time. I think for some people, this is a super busy season. I said that at the start, but even what we're doing here as a church, there's a lot for us to do in setting up and packing away and doing all the stuff to make church happen. What are we doing? And we need to understand, where are we spending our time? Are we still getting time at the Lord's feet? So if you're serving your socks off, but you're still getting time to spend at the Lord's feet, and you're happy with that, and you feel that's where God has you, that's not an issue. But if you are serving and serving and serving and serving, but you are not spending time at the Lord's feet, and you are not spending time looking to Him and getting soaked in the Word and in His Spirit, you're in danger. You're in danger of pride, and you're in danger of going down the wrong road. And it happens subtly, it happens slowly. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a slow fade. We need to spend time with Him. And I think if, I can imagine there are probably people here who are saying, yeah, but I just don't have time in my day. I'm just too busy. And a challenge that I heard recently, which has really spoken to me, is just to take out your phone and have a look at the time you spend on the apps. It's so revealing. It's quite hard to look at, actually. And I would be surprised if any of us can look at our phones and say there's not at least 10, 15 minutes a day we could take from the time we're spending on apps to spend with the Lord. I think that's a good challenge that we need to really consider. So we need to also be able to discern between the good things and the God things, the things that God has put on our heart, and the things that are just, you know, it's a good thing to do. And that can be tough, for sure. But we need to pray into that. We need to also prioritize our time with Him. And sometimes this is about discipline, creating a routine. And I know some people are going to say, well, hang on, you're starting to go down towards legalism there. And that's just not what we're about. But I want to suggest to you, it's kind of like when you, I'm sure we've all had this, you make an arrangement to see a friend or to see friends and do something with them. And then on the day you wake up and you think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I really don't have time. I could do without that today. But you go ahead anyway because you've made the arrangement. And then afterwards you think, wow, I'm so glad I did that. That was awesome. I had such a lovely time with them. And it's the same in our time with God. Sometimes we need to dedicate and say, I'm spending 10 minutes in the morning before I have my breakfast or whatever it is, I'm spending 10 minutes, I'm going to put in that time and committing to that, and I guarantee you, you'll start to come away from that saying, that was time well spent. I feel set up for my day. And the rest of that day, you will find that stuff just sets you up and equips you. It's putting oil in that lamp so that we can burn brightly throughout the day. And so my appeal to you is to take stock. I think we all need to do this from time to time. What are you doing? What are you engaged in? What do you need to put down? And perhaps for some of us, what is it that God's put in your hand that you're not using? What is that gift He's given you for the benefit of others that you are not bringing? We don't want to be the clouds and wind without rain. We want to bring the rain. We want to bring God's light. We want to bring that gifting that He's given us. And we want to be less like a firework and more like a lamp. I'm going to finish with Romans 8, chapter 14. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. That's what my version says. Some say sons and daughters. Some say children of God. The sons part applies to both men and women. But the son part of it there is because they were the heirs in that time. And so as men and women, we inherit the promises of God. So we are heirs. And that is an amazing thing. But in order to be heirs, we need to be led by the Spirit of God. And to be led by the Spirit of God, we need to be in a place where we're spending time at His feet. We are looking to Him. And we're having our minds renewed in His Word and by His Spirit as He washes over us and refreshes us. And we need to do that regularly. Let us pray. Yeah, Father, I just thank You so much, Lord Jesus, that You are accessible to us, Lord. I thank You, Lord, that we're able to just come into Your presence, Lord. What a privilege that is, Father God. And I just want to pray just for us as a church, as a group of people, Lord God, would you help us, Lord, to see what it is we need to pick up, what it is we need to do, the path we need to go down, Lord, but would You also let us know what we need to put down? I pray particularly for those, Lord Jesus, who are serving out of a place where they want to feel needed, where they want to feel valued, where they want to be servant-hearted, Lord, and I recognize the good intent there, Father, but I pray, Lord, that you would reveal to them what they need to put down in order to prioritize their time with you. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the stories of Mary and Martha that are so instructive to us, Lord, that tell us about your will, that tell us what you want from us, that tell us what the main thing is, Lord God, that tell us where we need to spend our time. And Lord, I just pray, I pray for my brothers and sisters today, Lord. I pray that you would open eyes. Help us to know, each of us personally, what you would have us do, what you would have us put down, what you'd have us pick up. And Lord, I just want to pray for those who've just felt a real sense of that gifting that's not used, Lord. That gifting that they know that you've placed within them. That gifting that they know, they sense that you have given them for them to bring to your body, to your church, to your bride, or to the people out there that you're trying to reach, but that they're not currently bringing. Father God, I pray just for a prompting. I pray, Lord God, that you would speak to them right now in this moment. And I pray, Lord, that they would begin to act on that. Lord, I pray just that your words, not mine, would be what's remembered today, Lord God, and that you would speak to people. But I pray, Lord God, that we would be a church that sees you. We would be a church that sits at your feet. Collectively, Lord, we would sit there and look to you. We would know your will because we spend time with you. And we would walk in what you have set before us, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you go before us as you went before Moses and the Israelites. You go before us, Lord. Help us to see you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.